Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Hello, and welcome to the broadcast. I'm still recovering from a sickness that makes it difficult for me to speak behind the mic for very long without coughing or breaking up. So I will again be taking the day off, so to speak, similar to last week. However, instead of reaching into the archives of this program and playing for you a previously aired edition of Voice of Truth, today we're going to bring you a complete broadcast from our sister program, A Message of Hope with Danny Hood. Our local assembly is affiliated with the United Pentecostal Church International, and I'm an ordained minister with the UPCI. A Message of Hope is the official radio voice of the UPCI, and it is aired on XM Radio, which is satellite-based, and also on many powerful earth-based radio towers as well. You will greatly enjoy Danny's ministry, and you will be blessed by the message. Please keep me in your prayers, and we'll look forward to getting back behind the mic and teaching again as soon as I'm fully recovered. Let's roll the tape.
There is Hope for Today presents inspirational sermons from the pulpit of the United Pentecostal Church International. Welcome to A Message of Hope. Today's speaker, Danny Hood, will be bringing you a biblical message that will inspire and empower you in your journey of faith. We invite you to open your heart and mind to this source of absolute truth that will make you free. We invite you now to join us for A Message of Hope.
What is it about a thunderstorm that relates to human struggle? Where is the one place Jesus had to go that no one else could go? Do you have some baggage of mistakes that you would like to leave behind? Who was the man that denied Jesus during the Savior's persecution? What gives us power to rise above the worst of circumstances? These questions and many more will be addressed by Danny Hood in today's message, It Can Only Go So Far.
The sheer size of thunderheads is astonishing. The swelling clouds rise upward to heights of 30,000 feet, and they stretch at times for several hundred miles across the land. Lightning flickers like light bulbs going out. Thunder booms, sounding like battling armies. Barometric pressure drops and cold gusts sweep over the plains. The energy released by an average thunderstorm is the equivalent to a 20-kiloton nuclear warhead. A thunderstorm is started by massive amounts of moisture being pushed upward. Usually, this upward motion of the moisture is caused by two converging winds. You can think of it as a conflict of two forces. We can easily see spiritual inferences in this. The battle between light and darkness, the winds of deception, and the winds of truth. Part of the process that causes cumulus clouds to rise upwards in gigantic proportion is latent heat. This latent heat is less dense than the surrounding dry air, so it blossoms toward space, spreading cloud formations across the sky. These clouds often appear as if they've been plucked from the abyss of darkness and planted in an earthen domain. And it is this latent heat that supplies the energy for such storms. It makes me think of the latent heat of anger that can be in relationships. And you have to be careful how anger is released. It can build up a storm of violence and malice, full of bitter lightning strikes and accusation winds, strong enough to destroy a home. Thunderstorms pack powerful winds. There are downbursts that can level a house, tornadoes that can cut swaths of ruin through cities and then become untamed vortexes, zigzagging through several states. When thunderstorms approach certain areas, the National Weather Service keeps an even closer eye on them. One such place is known as Tornado Alley. Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and northeastern Texas are the predominant regions associated with it. People that live in these areas are wary at all times. Whenever the sky darkens, their hearts accelerate. Some folks in these areas have keen eyes for the skies, and when they see certain patterns, they discern a need for quick preparations to take shelter. They know the possibilities and the power of destruction. In a spiritual sense, you need discernment about the times that you're in and your surroundings. When you feel those thunderstorm moments of sin, anger, resentment, malice, or rage, you need to find a shelter in prayer. Prayer protects you from severe damage. It puts your mind in a place where peace prevails and the effects of the storms are silenced. When someone hears a weather siren go off, it is foolish to ignore it, to go outside and play around as if it were a clear day. The same applies to your spiritual condition, my friend. When you feel the warning sirens going off in your heart, get to prayer immediately. Don't delay. Don't argue with your better senses. Don't rationalize your refusal to heed the warnings. Just pray. Thunderstorms can deliver heavy rainfall and produce severe flooding. I've been to parts of the South where bridges were washed out by flash floods because the drainage system couldn't handle the torrents of rain being dumped by severe storms. Your car can be swept away in violent currents before you even know what hit it. The safest thing to do in these circumstances is to find high ground and to stay off the road, especially in the areas where low bridges can be threatened by flash floods. I ministered to a woman not long ago who understood symbolic flash floods. She had survived three devastating disappointments that left huge spiritual holes in her heart. The bridge of a relationship had been washed out by bitterness. She received unfavorable news concerning her health, and she continued to battle depression. These three things were like converging winds of a supercell thunderstorm. The rains of distress poured. She tried to stay afloat, but the current of anguish pulled her under. Yet just as she felt her life was headed for a terribly destructive end, she received an encouraging word from the Lord that lifted her above the storm. You see, thunderstorms grow and grow and grow. They rise up to some 30,000 feet, and then they flatten out. Hence the reason thunderheads are often described as being anvil-shaped when they get to the tropopause. That's the boundary region between the troposphere and the stratosphere. Simply put, the tropopause is the cap of the storm. In general, warm air that rises to create a massive supercell thunderstorm can go no higher than the tropopause. It is an invisible line that keeps the storm from rising any higher. Oh, my friend, there is also a place in God, high above the clouds, where the storm cannot follow you. The atmosphere of faith above the boundaries of hell's thunder and the lightning strikes of condemnation. As Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. Maybe at the ground level of your condition, you are flooded with trepidation. At 5,000 feet, you feel the shaking thunder of temptation. At 10,000 feet, you fail again, giving in to the same tricks of personal addictions. At 15,000 feet, you've given in to the wind shears of shame. At 20,000 feet, you've succumbed to the vortexes of doubt. At 25,000 feet, you give in to the rain of tears produced by perpetual depression and self-deprecation. And finally, at 30,000 feet, the apex of the storm, you see that the storm is too large to believe, too severe to endure. But then, just a few hundred feet higher, you realize that the storm is no longer encompassing you. You're above it. The clouds of anxiety are flattened against the tropopause of truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You can have a relationship with a heavenly Father, with a Savior that loves you, that can lift you higher than any memories of abuse, any memories of a biological parent or a past that is so haunting and storm-filled and stress-thundering that you don't know what to do. In Psalm 55 and 6, we see an example of the kind of desperation that needs to get above a storm, that needs to get beyond the thunder of accusation and violence. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Psalm 55 and 6 through 8. You see, in this particular passage, David, an ancient king of Israel, had suffered a terrible storm. His own son, Absalom, conspired against him and ultimately met with a humiliating death. Absalom, known for his long, beautiful hair, eluded capture until his hair was seized by a low-hanging branch of an oak tree. As he dangled, Joab, David's captain of war, took three darts and thrust them through Absalom's heart. The circumstances involving David and his rebellious son, it blew in like a storm. It seemed to happen so fast. The thunderhead of conspiracy rose up so quickly that David wanted the wings of a dove so he could fly away from the harm and hurt that he had endured. In other words, he longed for rest from the grief that rumbled in his soul and rained from his eyes. Every night he saw the face of his slain son reflected in the mirror of his heart, and the tempest of his sorrow increased. He longed to escape to the wilderness and evade the storm. You see, the dove represents the Spirit of God. When you get spiritual wings like a dove, you can escape the storms of stress and the tempests of temptation. You can leave behind the veiled darkness of ebullient clouds that are formed against you. You can find rest. You can be free. When will this let up? That's often the phrase you hear from folks in a stormy region. They've tolerated days, even weeks of continuous rain. The bad weather makes them sullen. They grow weary of umbrella days and sandbagging nights. They just want the rain to go away. They don't want any more mud on their shoes or threatening water at their doorstep. They long for some sunshine, a few days of respite from the continuous line of thunderstorms. And maybe you feel like David and those good people who live in a rainy region. Maybe you live in one of those places and you know what I'm referring to. Similarly, in a spiritual realm, you may yearn to have some emotional sunshine and to be free from guilt, which clouds your mind. You desire to be liberated from the lonely nights when the downpours of depression won't let up. You need release from the torrents of animosity that have inundated your marriage. You look for an escape route. You run for refuge, a shelter to insulate your heart. I was ministering at a church in Louisiana. As I approached the podium to deliver a message, I felt the Spirit of the Lord give me a word of hope for the congregation. I began to describe a piano sitting in the middle of the church, a grand piano, sleek and eye-catching. But a storm had hit, and leaks from the roof had ruined that piano, turning the pristine white keys brown, leaving the once fine-sounding strings dreadfully out of tune. It seemed the only thing left to do with the piano was simply haul it away to a dump because of the extensive water damage. But then I began to tell the curious listeners that in time, the piano was restored. It seemed impossible that it could be restored, but in God's time zone, in God's power and grace, nothing is impossible. You see, I told them that God wasn't finished with certain ministries in their church, and even though it seemed that the storms had impaired them, God was going to use them again. The piano in my illustration, it looked brand new. The keys were pure white and black again, the damage of the storm gone. The piano would make sweet, melodious sounds again. Music would be written on that keyboard again. The meaning of the illustration encouraged the members of the church to trust God for the restoration of things that a literal hurricane, Katrina, had destroyed and that spiritual opposition had caused. In fact, an older lady approached me after that service. She asked me again to describe the piano in my vision. I told her the details as best I could. She smiled and said, "I have a piano just like that in my home, and we recently had a fire in our home and the sprinkler system came on. The water from the sprinklers ruined my grand piano, just like the one you described." By this point, my goosebumps were laying eggs. She began to tell me in detail the heart-rending things that had transpired in her life, including being abandoned by her own husband. For her, the damaged piano in her home was not the real story. She was the piano. She told me that God had blessed her in that service to realize that he wasn't finished with her, that he had a testimony he wanted to give her, a testimony that was worth telling, that she had a purpose and a reason for living. Despite all the things that she had suffered in the humiliation of her broken marriage, God would restore the piano of her confidence. She would play again. She would sing again. So what about the things in your heart that have been damaged by the storm? Do you think they'll work again? Do you think you can rise above the effects of the destructive storms you've endured to find rest? Take the wings of a dove, of the Spirit, of the encouragement of God, of the word of the Lord that is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. He will not leave you in the blindness of your blame. He will not leave you in the calloused place of your past, hardened over and desensitized by all of the destructive winds that have blown in your life. You can fly above the clouds in your storm, rise to complete trust in God. Remember, sooner or later, if you follow the Lord, you can come to a place where the storm ends and the joy begins. Sin and error, the ugliness of human deficiencies, can come at you like big thunderheads. And no matter how fast you run, you cannot escape the pelting rain of your regret. Your soul longs to be innocent of angry clouds, to have a blue sky of peace, a tranquil day of sun and pleasant temperatures. But the thunder booms. It is the attack of guilt against the battered walls of hope. They shake and you feel helpless. The lightning flashes and you know that it's like a tempest's camera, taking one picture of failure after another. And in your memory, you live too often in the photo album of self-humiliation. Snapshots of addiction, the film of fear, the faded black and white captions of long-ago abuses, pictures of pain, pictures of pride, pictures of younger days when dreams seemed more real and more believable. And then you hear this, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Those are the words of hope. That is the declaration of deliverance. For on a sun-baked morning in Jerusalem, almost 2,000 years ago, a man showed us the way. It wasn't an easy route. And on that day, several found out they could only go so far. A fisherman turned religious disciple, tried to follow his friend down the rugged path of death. But when Jesus was thrust into the judgment hall of Pilate and falsely accused, this fisherman named Peter could go no further than the fire outside that warmed his hands. A shadow of him and the fire flickered against a distant wall. The shadow looked as if Peter was standing in the fire, and when the heat was on, Peter melted. He was put on the spot. He was accused by some standing by for being a disciple, for talking the Savior's talk. But Peter denied any association with Christ. And that was as far as Peter could go. He couldn't go where Jesus was going. He couldn't walk the trail of suffering meant for the one born in Bethlehem, laid in swaddling clothes in a feeding trough. Many on that day would come short. They would scatter in the Garden of Gethsemane. They would forsake him at the judgment hall of Pilate. They would be absent from the court of pavements where he was brutally beaten with a bone-laced whip. You see, they could only go so far. The Savior had to go on from there. And when Jesus got to the cross, sin approached. It was a Category 5 hurricane from hell. It blew against the walls of salvation. It tried to destroy the gates of praise. And at that last moment, the only beams left standing in the house of salvation were the crisscrossed timbers of crucifixion. It creaked while the storms of iniquity intensified, for all the sin of all the world, of every age, was packed in the punch of this storm. It howled with hate. It whistled against the timber of the cross. But the cross stood. In fact, the man hanging on that cross had already forecasted what would happen. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. The hurricane of sin relentlessly attacked. It broke down the walls of mercy, and thorns stuck to his brow. It collapsed the compassion of the crowd as they cried, "Crucify him!" And nails were thrust into his wrists. It thundered on a distant hill, and death rained from his body in crimson droplets. And where he hung, no other man could go. No other source could be salvation. And despite all death, hell, and the grave could assail against him, the cross stood. And when the Savior took his last breath, and with a scratchy voice, dehydrated and weary, he said, "It is finished." And then he entered a place that sin couldn't go. When you come to the cross, you come to a place that, like the thunderhead flattened high in the sky, sin cannot go any further. Sin cannot go beyond the blood. Sin cannot chase you past the forgiveness of a bleeding Savior. Sin cannot cross the line, for the line is the cross. Get to the cross, O wounded heart. Get to the cross, O weary mind. Get to the cross, O bruised emotion. Get to the cross, desperate mother, stubborn father, destitute child, and lonely reject. Because at the cross, the clouds of addiction stop. At the cross, the winds of shame stop blowing. At the cross, the anger can go no further. They say when a pilot enters a storm, he knows that he's out of the storm when he sees what is known as the pilot's cross. That is the cross-shaped shadow of the plane seen on the ground, thus made possible by an unobstructed sun. Can you see the pilot's cross? Do you know the one who can get you out of the storm? Listen, you may be stalked by the storm. You may be stressed by the storm. But when you come to the cross, when you get an Acts 2:38 experience, when you find out what it means to have the river of grace explode out of your spiritual belly, to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory, then, my friend, you'll no longer be stalked by the storms of the past, nor stressed by the storms of your present, but you, by way of the cross, by the power of his blood shed for you, you'll be safe from the storm. I close with this scriptural hope. Revelation 21. John the Revelator said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" Listen to this. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Hey, friend, death can only go so far. Sorrow can only go so far. Crying can only go so far. Pain can only go so far. Beyond that is heaven. And my one question to you today is, are you ready to go?
Far above the sky, is a city where God rules the universe. All he's robed in majesty and glory. Eyes have not seen the wonders that wait for you and me. Will you be ready? Ready when he comes to take his people home? Will you be ready? I believe that his coming is near. Signs of the times are everywhere. And those who are looking for the day of his return shall be caught up. Will you be ready, ready when he comes to take his people home? Will you be ready, ready when he comes to take his people?
Thank you for joining us on A Message of Hope. It's our prayer that this broadcast will bless and enlighten your walk with God. For more information on this program and the United Pentecostal Church International, please contact us at www.thereishopefortoday.com. That's thereishopefortoday.com.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that broadcast from the archives of A Message of Hope, originally aired on October 4, 2008. We encourage you to join us again next week when we'll again turn our attention to the Word of God to glean truths that help us in our everyday lives and to help us in our walk with the Lord Jesus and our path to salvation and eventually to a place with Him reigning in the millennial kingdom and then in the eternal state. Until we're with you again, may God richly bless you is our prayer.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.